The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Good morning, Kelly. How you doing?
Hey there, guy.
Hey, man. You know what the thing about working Thanksgiving was? I think you'll agree with me. We enjoyed working Thanksgiving. What we didn't anticipate is that once we finished our Thanksgiving show, it felt like it was the weekend.
Yes.
So I had to remind myself maybe 17 times yesterday that we were doing a show today. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I should probably get up in the morning.
I don't know about you, but I was fine, and I was in normal work mode as soon as I woke up today.
Yes.
But, yes, yesterday there was multiple moments where it was like, weekend, weekend.
Yeah. No, oh, it's that's not. Right. Oh, that's right. We're coming. Listen, we have a great show, as we always do Friday, packed with guests. Dr. Bob will be here momentarily. I know the angriest guy in New Jersey is very excited about that appearance. He'll give us his play of the week. Dr. Bob's on a roll a bit, isn't he? Isn't he on a bit of a streak here? I don't know. We'll ask him. Paul Carr to discuss. Kelly's like, I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
What do you want me to do? Answer your questions?
Am I watching college football on Saturdays?
Paul Carr will be here. World Cup, what a day. What a day today is. USA, England at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern. The world watches. Are you stopping everything you're doing? Oh, no, you have another show to do.
I have a show exactly at that time.
That's right.
But I will be watching it during it. I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. I've got my red, white, and blue, and maybe some turquoise in there. I don't really know. Oh. But I got that on, man. I'm ready to go.
Your red, white, and blue, and maybe some turquoise?
Yeah, I think there's another hue of blue in this shirt. So, you know.
Another hue. Another tint, if you will.
Another tint, yes.
Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. You want to do a little college basketball release today and move some global markets? We'll do that. We'll do that. By the way, their lifetime record is just insane. They have a terrible loss the last time we were on. And, like, the three idiots on Twitter going after them for losing. And making fun of us for being amazed at the global lines being moved. They'll never learn. They'll never learn. Chris Velika from ESPN's College Game Day joins to talk college football with us. What a college football weekend it is. And Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown, from VSiN's Final Countdown, which he does with Stormy Bonnetoni, Monday through Friday here on the network. He has his bevy. Can we call him a bevy? A bevy of NFL picks coming up later on the show. We'll talk Survivor, because that has moved along, obviously, since yesterday in Circa. Only three eliminations, but we'll talk this weekend. We'll do a whole bunch. We'll review our bets. Let's start with the three games yesterday in the NFL, though, Kelly. Obviously, three outcomes, each of which was interesting in its own way. Buffalo gets by Detroit, and I do mean get by, with one of these late Patrick Mahomes-like drives where they have very little time left on the clock. In the case of the Buffalo Bills, I believe it was 23 seconds left on the clock. 23 after the Lions do not mortar kick, 36 yards to Diggs, 16 seconds left. Allen for 3 yards to the Detroit 36 with 13 seconds left. They had their timeouts. Allen for 10 more with 4 seconds left. And then Bass from 45 yards. Good. 28-25. Buffalo wins, but does not cover. So Buffalo gets it done for survivors. But oh boy, what a sweat it was. Boy, Bob DeLuca was almost prophetic about that game.
Yep. Sure was. Yeah, that was a... That was a fun ending late. Jeff and I were live on the air. It was chaotic going on. I know you and I texted a bit about it yesterday.
So I want to get to those things. Let's start with the first thing. Let's go through just a brief summary of the other two, and then I'll ask my questions. The second one, obviously, the Cowboys beat the Giants, but don't cover because the Giants get an improbable backdoor, and Kelly's already, his head is in his, he's palming his forehead right now, and this is...
Just make the kick, Maher!
Maher misses a 46-yarder with 1:17 left that would have put the Cowboys in comfortable, even if the Giants score a touchdown and two-point conversion, they still cover position. Instead, he misses, and then with 1:17 left on the clock, the Giants matriculate the ball down the field, no problem.
Because obviously... We knew it was coming.
Listen, I just want to say this because I know people are bored when they hear about other people's bad fortune. But the first 9 weeks of the season, and how many times did I come on here and I was very honest about it. I was like, look, all of these bounces are going my way.
Yep.
And in previous years, that doesn't mean I was dumb, and now it doesn't mean I'm smart. But do you know what the NFL gambling gods have decided to do to me the last 3 weeks? two 14-point leads in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago. Dallas against Green Bay, they lose in overtime. Chicago against Detroit. Detroit overcomes the 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter. Last week, the Nathaniel Hackett game, where I got Nathaniel Hacketed to death.
Yeah.
And the Jets on the near walk-off punt return. And then yesterday, Dallas. The Plinko chip has no interest in me anymore. And that's the price of doing business, Ben, in the NFL proof
about, you forgot about Cowboys Green Bay, too.
No, I did. I said that, too. That was a 14-point lead, too. Yeah. Well, trust me, I got them all.
Trust me. I remember. Yeah.
That one yesterday, because it was also, by the way, our first Betsgiving pick, we had the Giants under 1.5 touchdowns. So Kelly and I just got destroyed on that.
It's not just us, though. Think about everything that was affected that final score,
everything.
Right? The Giants going to cover, the over hits instead when the under's clearly there. I had a team total under on the Giants. That's dead. We have our little prop for Betsgiving under 1.5 touchdowns by the Giants. Dead.
Gambling is fun, except when it's not. And then the nightcap yesterday, which was fascinating because I'll speak for every United States American, which is by that time everybody's eating dinner or is recovering from dinner. So your texts go from like all kinds of texts all day long to very silent. So I had this on record, right? I watched this game after the fact. I stayed in a cocoon and I watched it after it had completed, not knowing what happened.
Oh, really?
And I was like, this game is awesome. How come I didn't get a single text on this game? This is amazing. And the Vikings outlast the Patriots and get the cover 33-26. The refs did the Patriots no favors down the stretch with missed face mask penalties and the like.
Yeah.
I was ridiculous.
That one was bad.
It was ridiculous. There was like two on that one play, two infractions on that one play. And the Vikings get it done. So now here are my questions just the whole day of football. Let's just macro this. First of all, you know how bettors talk about the right side? Oh, you had the right side. Oh, you... Was the only real quote unquote right side yesterday Detroit?
Yes.
I think so too. Because even the Dallas people, like even, you know, Dallas struggled the first half, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, because here's the deal. Well, okay. And then what did
I'm just trying to think. No, you're absolutely
it's Detroit.
Right.
Detroit was the real right side.
If we're going to play that
game.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's the NFL, so I hate playing that game. But if we're going to play that game, the only right side yesterday was Detroit.
And then here's my second question. Which of the six teams did we learn the most about yesterday? And let's go through all of them because I'll crescendo to the one that I think we did. One, Detroit, I think we get it. They're one of the good, bad teams in the NFL. Let's use that. They're one of the good, bad teams in the NFL. And they did that yesterday. Buffalo, still probably one of the elite teams in the National Football League, but capable of losing on any given Sunday. Fair? We didn't really learn anything about either of those two teams.
Okay.
Is that fair? Fair assessment? They're still elite, but they're not
flawless.
I'm going to
push back on the Bills a bit. I think that this is... It's the week in, week out results ever since Josh Allen got injured are starting to add up to a pile of concern.
A pile. So, but less than elite?
They're very much still elite, but yeah. I had them, I would say before Josh Allen got injured, they were by far the clear-cut number one team in the league to me.
Oh, I would agree with that.
And not only have they dropped past that partially due to how well the Chiefs have played, but they've dropped to a range of where you're talking where, yes, they could lose any game they play in it.
For sure. So I think we agree, though. Detroit, one of the good, bad teams. Bills, still really good, but not flawless, not infallible based on where they are now.
I think the question is, remember how we always put the Chiefs, Eagles, and Bills for so long in that separate tier ahead?
Yeah.
Do you feel like the Bills and Eagles belong in a tier above everybody
else? I already dropped the Eagles, so you know my answer there.
That's where I think I'm kind of getting to that point.
Dallas and the Giants. The Giants, the opposite of Detroit, one of the bad, good teams in the NFL, but they deserve some credit yesterday because they had no players and they hung with the Cowboys for a while and got the cover. Yep. And then Dallas, you texted me, you're awful 1 week, you're phenomenal the next, you're awful the next week, and then you're really mediocre the next. Like, I don't know.
I mean, like, part of that's just the NFL, but part, like, that is, has that not been the Dallas Cowboys for 20 years now? I mean, like, ever since Tony Romo took over at quarterback, it's, you look amazing 1 week. The next week, you look terrible.
Let's go to the third game. Minnesota, whose point differential at 9-2 is now +5 on the season. Justin Jefferson is ridiculously amazing, but Minnesota is exactly who we think they are too. The Plego chip goes their way sometimes. This year more than ever. But do we really think they're going to win the Super Bowl? I don't think anybody's really thinking they will. Maybe Kelly Bidlin does. Which gets me to New England. Did we not learn more about New England yesterday than any of the other five teams? Where I'm like, wait a minute, they might actually be really good. Whereas before I was like, well, if they're ahead, they're good. If they're behind, they're bad. Yesterday I was really impressed with them. On offense particularly.
Okay. I mean, I was impressed too. I think it's going to be more of an outlier than I will say, of all the games that we sat here and broke down yesterday and previewed and what we thought was going to happen, how that game played out, despite us having Vikings bets, how that game played out was by far the most shocking to me of all three.
I just knew we were going to lose that one too. I was like, oh, watch this happen.
Right. But simply because the Patriots put up 26 points, right? That was surprising to me.
All right, and I have two questions about TV broadcasts, which I don't know if we have enough time to get into right now, but I'll try. The first game, because I think CBS and Fox did terrible jobs with this. The first game, remember when we were screaming at Dan Campbell because he had all three timeouts left? There was 32 seconds left. The clock went all the way down to 21 seconds. Like, what is he doing? What is he doing? I still don't have an explanation. Did he actually call timeout at 32 seconds, or did he retroactively get bailed out and then call the timeout?
I don't know. I'm just so glad the rest of the country is seemingly confused by that, because Jeff and I were in here literally on the air basically yelling at each other about what was going on. We're like, no, he should have done this. We're like, wait, how many timeouts are there?
But here's the difference. You didn't have the benefit of audio. I did, and I still didn't understand what was happening. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't be that mad at Dan Campbell. Maybe I misunderstood.
Right. I don't know.
All right. There was something else in the Cowboys-Giants game. We'll get to that after the break. And Paul Carr on the World Cup coming up. Numbers game. VSiN, the sports betting.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly, and if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Kelly, how was your Thanksgiving? You eat a lot?
It was good. A lot of football. Ate, drank. It was good.
Went over to my friend's house, kind enough to provide me with all kinds of Thanksgiving food, and woke up this morning, I was like, I need to drink gallons of water. Is that a repercussion of Thanksgiving meals usually?
I guess. Who knows? Who knows? When you eat all that food, a lot of things you might need.
You have any World Cup bets, by the way?
I do.
Oh, what did you bet?
Bet the draw.
So did I. England and USA?
England, USA. Yeah. Draw this afternoon.
For those who missed it earlier here.
It's also our bets giving pick.
Yes, it is. Senegal beat Qatar 3-1. Qatar. Or as I like to call it, Qatar.
There you go.
3-1 right there. And earlier, overnight.
If you know you pronounce it way off, then nobody can give you crap for mispronouncing it.
I just think Qatar is money. Here's the deal. Did you hear about the game before that?
Yeah.
Wales and Iran was scoreless into added time.
Oh, okay. I did not hear about this.
It was scoreless into added time. And then in the 98th minute, a goal for Iran. And in the 101st minute, a goal for Iran, because they added like 11 minutes of stoppage time. 2-0 Iran. And so our Paul Carr-driven Iran to advance bets become very live now.
Yeah. I mean, it's also a good thing for the U.S., I guess, if you're assuming Iran is a worse team than Wales.
I think that's a bad thing for the U.S., right? Isn't it a bad thing?
I don't know. I mean, regardless, they would have had to play Iran. But now, if they win, you're in a situation if you win one of these games, right? So Iran has, what, a win and a loss.
Yeah. We have a tie.
And we have a draw.
Yeah.
Wales has a draw and a loss.
Yeah. So we need a result, as they say in soccer today. USA needs a result.
Or if we draw or lose, we're still alive if we beat Iran.
Yeah, we won't be eliminated.
Right.
We, by the way.
We, yes.
We'll get to Paul Carr.
I help train the players every day.
That's right. You're a regular Ted Lasso. By the way, I saw the first season of Ted Lasso. I'm not as into it as everybody else is.
You watched the whole thing?
First season, not the second season yet. But I was listening to everybody while it was happening just rave about the show. And it is adorable. It's a nice little cute little show. But I'm not like racing back to watch the second season.
So I feel like it was probably you and I discussing it like a couple months ago when you brought it up, like you were going to maybe watch it. And I said, hey, I always tell people this. Look, there's definitely a cheese factor to it. Like it's
a bit cheesy. I'm good for cheese.
But it's a good show.
It's a good show.
It's a good show.
I just didn't think it was this, you know, massively generational thing that people were making it out to be. Anyway, maybe I'm a Scrooge.
No, I'm with you on that.
Okay. Back to the football yesterday, our football. So the Dan Campbell thing, by the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book, and Bill Hooker, to my question of, okay, we were all screaming at Dan Campbell, but then the clock went back from 21 seconds to 32 seconds, and Detroit did call a timeout. So my question was, did he actually call it at 32 seconds, or did the review then bail him out because he got to think about it and call a timeout? By the way, they were lollygagging with their full allotment of timeouts before that also.
Right.
Which was odd. So Bill Hooker says, he goes, no, I'm pretty sure he was retroactively bailed out.
That's where it was tough for me to track this while we were on the air, Gil, but it just felt like it should have been a situation. Like if you were facing that fourth and one like they were, it felt like if you manage the clock right, or better, I should say, it should have been a situation where you were either going for it with much more time left on the clock, or you were kicking a field goal with much less time on the clock.
Yeah, I mean, Badgley had to, like, hook that 51-yarder in.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even that time. Sean Gusick, by the way, says, this year's contest, ATS, all breaks go against me. Dallas missed field goal to go up 18, and then I knew the Giants would score a touchdown. Hate those feelings when you know what will happen, and you can't do anything to stop it. Sean Gusick, welcome to National Football League pre-flop ATS.
Welcome
Benny.
To the party. That was, as soon as he missed that field goal, you knew exactly what was
okay,
happening.
Okay, but I have a quibble with the broadcast there. So the part about not explaining the Dan Campbell timeout to us, and us being enraged at Dan Campbell when not really understanding what happened there in the CBS broadcast. Then the Giants-Cowboys. Do you know where I'm going with this? The last drive where the Giants get the backdoor touchdown to cover and crush all of us. Who had the Cowboys? Who had the under?
Who
had the under 1.5 Giants touchdowns? Yeah. All of that stuff. The Micah Parsons unnecessary roughness was never shown.
Oh, yes. Never
was
shown.
Never shown. Not only was it never shown, which, by the way, was the massive part of that drive that put them from like the 31 to the 16 or whatever it was, right? They show him stewing on the sidelines.
Yes. They cut to him angry on the sidelines.
And they're more interested in showing us, I guess it was Greg Olson's kid meeting Dak Prescott or something, and they're like raving about what a nice guy Dak Prescott is. Oh, what a guy. What is he going to do, snub Greg Olson's son? Sorry, kid, I don't have time for you. Former NFL player's child, current broadcaster's child.
I remember that. Was that exactly what they were doing during that time?
Yes. So I'm literally like, can I at least see what happened? So because right now I'm just taking your word for it. I just thought the broadcast. Listen, am I disputing that it happened? No, of course not. But what I'm saying is, I would have liked to have seen it,
right?
Rather than you go on this beautiful Thanksgiving tribute to Dak Prescott,
I would have liked to have seen how I'm losing this bet
Correct.
With my own eyes.
Correct,
you know, because I enjoy pain. I want to see it.
Yes, because we're betting on this stuff.
Betting on it.
I want to know why I lost money.
Oh, I mean, there's people. I know people had different numbers, and people might say, "Hey, if Maher makes that field goal, you can't tell me the same thing doesn't happen to you." Sure, yeah, that's
to our Giants under 1.5. Yeah, but you still cover if you're the Cowboys.
But there was, I think there was tens and tens and a halves out there at that point too.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you could say that, but at the same time, the mentality of players is completely different with that little time left in a 17-point game. It would have been 18, right? 18-point game as opposed to what it ended up being.
It's a big 15-yard boost you get from where Maher missed the field goal from to where you would have gotten the ball if they had just done a touchback.
Well, and players knowing it's a 3-score game and not a 2-score game, right?
Or if they had mortared, kicked it, and more time had come off the clock. You just don't know. You just don't know. Survivor yesterday. And we talk about Circus Survivor because, that's the one that's the biggest pot, but certainly it's by proxy. We're talking about the Survivor pool that you still might be in. But yesterday was its own week in Circus Survivor. It went from 74, Kelly, out of the 6,133 that started, to 71. Because only the three Patriots players ended up losing. This could have gone any kind of way, right? The Bills, 41, just got by. The Vikings, 9, just got by. Certainly the Bills, especially. So 71 advance. By the way, shout out to KOTB once again, who had the Bills and the Cowboys available, but played it to the max. Played it like a man and went with the Patriots. Sorry it didn't work out, but good on him.
Yeah,
I know that. I know that's no consolation for him today, but I hear game recognized game.
Yep.
KOTB. Just say that. So 71 are left, and then this is the Sunday. Unlike last year, where the Sunday after Thanksgiving was like part of a gauntlet, this might be the easiest bingo space on the board this year, which is ostensibly week 13, if you will, out of 20 for Circus Survivor. Week 12 still for others. By the way, 1.16%, that's what 71 out of 6,133 is. Intrinsic value of each, $86,380.28 currently. And the big favorites on the board, I mean, you have Miami and Kansas City as massive favorites. Kansas City north of a two-touchdown favorite, Miami just south of a two-touchdown favorite, right? 53 of the remaining 71 still have Miami available. Kelly, how many of those 53 do you think are going to use Miami?
Oh, man. 50 of them?
I'm going to say 50. I'm going to go your way, too. Yeah. I'm going to say 50.
Yeah.
Which, again, is not how you really play this optimally, but, hey, I can't blame you if you do.
Me either.
I can't blame you.
The
other one, only 10 have Kansas City available.
Okay. I don't even know. Okay, Gil,
let me just say this. 15 have used both Miami and Kansas City and are going to have to come up with somebody else. Maybe San Francisco, maybe Philadelphia, maybe somebody else. It's going to be fascinating.
If you're in that group of 41 of used Kansas City but not Miami, I think you're fine. I actually think I'd rather play Miami this week than I would Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is you're probably not going to lose with either of them. This is probably, again, your free bingo space, but those are famous last words if there ever was one.
Yeah.
So, again, congratulations to all the 71 and your survivor entry right now, again, with the intrinsic value of, what did I say? North of
$86,380.28.
Man, it's only week 13 of 20, though, but this is getting fun. Already has been. What a contest. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the World Cup on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, Kelly, it's Black Friday today. Not sure if you're aware.
Yeah.
We got a Black Friday deal with Visa. New Visa Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the Visa store. With Visa Pro Access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by Visa show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The Visa store is a great place to shop for Visa sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, it's a limited time Black Friday offer. Those who sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at vsin.com/subscribe.
I got Wyatt saving my spot in line outside of Circuit City.
Circuit City still a thing?
I don't think so.
You got a little Radio Shack after that?
So, Wyatt, I don't need your help this morning. I need you to stand in line for me.
We get tweets. I want to read this tweet. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from, by the way, shout out Right Angle Sports coming up to give us a release. Dr. Bob coming up. Matt Brown coming up. Who am I forgetting? So much coming up.
Chris Felica.
Chris Felica, the Bear.
College football.
Well, totally bearing the headline. Coming up, talk college football with him. Big college football slate today. We get tweets. This one is from, I have no blue check mark, he says. He says, you buried the lead on the Iran match. I may very well have, because it was at 2 in the morning here. He says, the Wales goaltender got a red card in the second half, and so Wales had to play with 10 players.
What?
Yeah. So, also he said, the Iran win is good for the U.S. because now the U.S. controls its own destiny because they get to play Iran. And so if they beat Iran, unless they get smoked by a lot of goals today, which is a rather large if.
So, I was kind of right on that. All right.
Yes, you were.
We'll ask Paul about this. So, if a goalie gets a red card, I'm guessing someone else on the pitch can slide into net.
Excellent use of pitch, Kenny.
Right, right. Excellent but like, it's not like pitch. You're allowed to bring a backup goalie off the bench.
Well, if only we had.
Somebody, or I don't really know.
If you only we had somebody here right now that could answer these questions for us, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Carr from the Expected Value Podcast, and of course, True Media as well. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. I'm Marshall McLuhan for you now. You're pulling me out to answer the question.
You are my Marshall McLuhan. If only life were like this, as Woody Allen said neurotically. So they lose their goalkeeper?
Yes. Yeah, it was a late red card. I was not awake for this game. So
I wasn't either.
I mean, so normally what happens is you'll sub in another keeper, but you also have to replace an outfield player. So you're still playing with 10. You just sub off forward and put another keeper in. Now, if they didn't have subs left, I'm trying to pull up the match report real quick. Yeah, they had subs left. When it gets weird is if you don't have any substitutes left, then you have to put some random outfield player into goal, and that's when it gets fun.
That's awesome.
So, like, you put Greg Luzinski in goal, something like that is what you're referring to as an outfield
Correct.
Player?
Yes, gotcha. Exactly.
Wow. And Iran, again, as we said, score in the 98th and 101st minute.
Yeah. Yeah, and that second goal could be big. Because there's a real chance the U.S. loses to England that, I don't know, a real chance because Wales would still have to beat England. But there's a chance goal difference could be the tiebreaker between the U.S. and Wales advancing. So that second goal matters.
Oh, my head's hurting already.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Scenarios are my favorite thing when it comes to the World Cup because the wheels just keep turning, trying to figure out what every single goal means. One goal changes everything, et cetera.
Okay, we'll get to scenarios. Scenarios will be clear in this group after today's action. Before we get to USA England, there is a game that's about to take place between the Netherlands and Ecuador. Any play on that? It's less than a half hour away.
I have Netherlands winning this. I played this at -130, I think. I'm not sure you can still get that price. I don't think Ecuador is quite as good as a 2-0 win indicated against Qatar just because Qatar is not good. And Ecuador really didn't do a lot in the last two-thirds of that game. So I like Netherlands to win this game.
Okay. USA, England, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, stateside. Explain to us, before we get in your handicap, explain your emotions and what you compare this to for you, Paul Carr, soccer fan.
The best comparison to me is, I think, baseball, because I'm a Royals fan. The Royals did not make the playoffs for 30 years, and the 2014 and 2015 runs were the most glorious, excruciating things ever. I mean, you know how every single pitch, you're just living and dying for, you know, 2-3 weeks.
It's torture.
And it is. It's terrible. It's wonderful. And this is kind of like that because it's the World Cup. So it's only every 4 years if you make it. In the U.S., it's every 8 years. And everything gets compressed down to this one 90-minute game, a two-hour window.
So
and
great.
Again, one kick, one foul, one red card. So I'm usually either like kind of frozen in my seat watching the game, you know,
I would
hand over my face.
I would love to have a camera on you during this or
I'm pacing. Yeah. It kind of just depends where am I? If I'm at somebody's house, I'm definitely pacing. If I'm like in my, you know, office or in my den, then I'm just kind of stuck there, you know, afraid to move.
Man,
unless if the mojo gets bad, I'll change seats.
I wonder if I can get to that. Like, as this game begins, like, will I become that person? Will the general American sports fan who's like, oh yeah, we play England at 11 by like 11:30 Pacific. They're like, oh, come on. We got to beat these guys. How do you see this going?
I mean, this should be a tight game for every possible reason. I mean, England does not come out and blitz people. I know they put six on Iran, but that was just one of those things where every shot goes in for England. And frankly, a draw is not the worst thing for either team. So the U.S. wants to keep it close regardless. You know, a one-goal loss is not the worst thing in the world. England just doesn't tend to blow the doors off people. Look at almost all their major tournament games the last couple times. They tend to be closer when the opposition is, you know, in the U.S. range or up. So I think it's going to be low scoring. I mean, I say that, and, you know, one thing changes so much. You know, one goal obviously changes stuff. The question will just be, how much does England press early and try to, you know, really take it to the U.S.? And then how much is the U.S. going to push late if it comes to, you know, if it's tied? Is the U.S. going to try and steal a goal? Are they going to be fine with the draw? Are you going to be fine with the one-goal loss? That's really the question, because in these tournaments, every single goal just changes so much. Sometimes teams get tight, but, you know, we've seen a lot of lower-scoring games. I think this is going to be that way too.
And so the bet therefore is?
So the one bet I've made on this game is under half a goal in the first half. I got this at plus 200. It's a little bit lower now. It's probably maybe like minus or plus 180 or so, which is about as low as I would go. I just think that's the way the first half's going to play out. You
know, a nil-nil draw, in other words, first half.
Yep. Yeah. Nil-nil exact score first half or under half a goal first half, depending on whatever your book uses. I think there's a 1 out of 3 chance, greater than that this happens. It's just going to be a tight type of game.
Yeah, I bet the draw first half, and I bet the draw game. Kelly and I have the draw for the game as our bets giving play, too. But maybe I should have bet what you did. That makes more sense if I think that draw will be nil-nil in the first half as opposed to like a 1-1.
Yeah. I don't mind getting that cushion of a 1-1 either. I mean, obviously your price is not quite as good, but it does give you a break. Because, you know, it could look like in 2010 when these teams played at the World Cup, Steven Gerrard hits one. Your guy, Steven Gerrard.
My guy.
It's a goal from outside the box in the 4th minute, I think. And the U.S. came back and got one, or was given one kind of right before halftime. So it could look something like that. Because if England or the U.S. does score early, that will obviously open things up and the other team will likely be going for it a little bit more.
Steven Gerrard, greatest YouTube highlight package ever. All right, England, United States, under a half a goal, plus 200 in the first half for Paul Carr today in what should have the nation standing still for 90 minutes, well, for 2 hours total. Okay, tomorrow you have a play as well. What's that?
France-Denmark. I have both teams to score, even money is what I got. France looked great against Australia after the first 15 minutes or so. They look like France. And Denmark, though, has beaten France twice this year already in Nations League. So those were, Nations League is European competition. It's a competitive game, basically, not just a friendly. And both teams had tons of scoring chances in both. You look at expected goals. Each had over a goal and a half of expected goals in each game. So these teams know each other, and I just think they go at it a little bit. Denmark needs the win a little bit more after a draw. And, a loss, unless it's a bad loss, isn't the worst thing either for them because they have Australia left on the schedule. So, yeah, both teams to score, even money, France-Denmark.
All right, France-Denmark, both teams to score, BTTS, plus 100, shop around for the price. And then Sunday, a little win to nil bet here.
Yeah, I have Japan winning to nil against Costa Rica. My analysis for this should really just be, did you see the two games these teams played the other day?
That's really true.
I mean, Costa Rica looked kind of like what I thought they were, the worst team maybe in the tournament. Spain's also really good, so there's that. But Japan is solid.
I believe with Costa Rica, I believe I said the words out loud, they could lose this by a touchdown, and they did. 7-0, 7-0, pardon me.
It was as close to a name your score as you get at the World Cup. And Japan, they beat Germany. Again, they're a solid team. Good, they're not in the title contenders, but if they weren't in a Spain-Germany group, a lot of people would have liked them a lot more to get out, and they still look like they're going to do it anyway. So, yeah, Japan win to nil against Costa Rica, plus 110, the price I got on that this morning.
All right, so Sunday when the Dolphins are on and then there's a World Cup game, which one does Paul Carr watch?
I have so many screens. Depends where I am. If I'm at home by myself, then I'm putting the soccer on the big screen and TV on the laptop or tablet. If I'm watching with friends or my dad or something, it probably gets flipped.
All right. Let's get it done. We're rooting for the draw, Kelly and I, because that's where our money is. But
be fine with that.
I will, man.
You offer the U.S. a draw right now, you take that and run, because then a win gets you through.
Soccer, baby, because the world calls it football. Paul, enjoy it. A little more than 3 hours from now.
Under my desk in the fetal position.
Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. The Expected Value Podcast, where all podcasts are available. Dr. Bob joins us on the other side with his College Football Play of the Week. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This Thanksgiving, football fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first touchdown scorer prop. Bet on today's pro football games, or yesterday's, or this weekend's. And if your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Oh, there's that one. You guys want to talk about an NBA game, though, don't you? Huh, interesting. Fascinating that you want to talk about that. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm still going to talk about the first touchdown one because that's what's on mine. Did you want me to talk about the NBA one? Either way, promotions abound at BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Remember, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Any NBA game, one game parlay, four legs or more, miss one leg, receive up to $25 in free bets. That available as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from, I always appreciate the feedback, by the way, everybody chiming in on some of the things we're talking about. This is from Los Vegas 514. He goes, yo, you can't expect someone to wear a suit like Kevin Burkhardt did to give you an explanation on anything. Yeah, I don't know if I want to blame Kevin Burkhardt or not, because I just think it was the broadcast. I don't know how much control he has over the fact that they're doing the whole Greg Olsen thing while the game is going on, and I just want to see my play.
Yeah, not much.
Yeah. I actually like Kevin Burkhardt. Let's angriest guy in New Jersey, Kelly. Romo bromance with coach kneecaps is disturbing. Changing the culture. Okay, so now Detroit loses on a last-minute field goal. Culture changing. Why is he talking like my parents? Lou DeGeorge. It's like Burkhardt and Olsen aren't even watching the game, exclaiming at Lamb attempting one-handed catches as if it were voluntary, ignoring that it was because the DB was pulling his arm the other way.
Burkhardt, yeah, I caught that too.
He goes, Burkhardt tries to force way too much drama into calls as if he's still doing nondescript early window NFC South games. Nice to hear someone else finally be critical of this crew. Yeah, I had a problem with the broadcast. I did, generally speaking. This is from John G, Angry Johnny 1. Oh, yeah, did you hear about this? Speaking about bad beats yesterday, Tony Pollard's rushing total. Someone texted me this as well. Tony Pollard's rushing total was 60 and a half. He had 63 yards on the last drive. He gets stopped for a four-yard loss and doesn't make the over.
Oh, man.
Those are the most brutal.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's not fun. Dr. Bob is here. He's had a bad beat or two in his lifetime. You're not betting unless you've had bad beats. Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. On the World Wide Web, on the information superhighway, Kelly, they used to call it. It's Bob Stoll, everybody. Dr. Bob, how you doing, man?
Doing fine. You know what bugged me yesterday the most is this Hunter Henry touchdown that was called back.
I agree with that.
All right, here's the thing. I get that maybe he didn't complete the catch, but when you have complete control with two hands and cross the plane of the goal line, the play is over as far as I'm concerned. Running backs can dive over the top, get the ball knocked out. As long as it crossed the goal line, it's a touchdown. Why is it the same for a reception? Guy had two hands on the ball, complete control, reached it over the end zone. When he hit the ground, it moved a little bit. Doesn't matter. It should have been a touchdown. I don't get that rule.
And I also feel like that has, because the answer to your question is, because one is a catch and one is not, as you know, and so for whatever reason, they rule differently. But to your point, I remember catches in the past. I even think there was one in a Super Bowl once. The New Orleans Saints.
Oh, yeah, the Cowboys. Well, the guy going flying, Golden Richards, flying over the end zone.
Oh, you're talking about ancient football where they had, like, you know, what constituted.
When catches were really catches.
What constituted a catch was something different back then. I'm talking about there was a New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees and the Saints were in the Super Bowl. I don't know if it was a two-point conversion, but somebody caught the ball. Somebody can clean this up for me. They caught the ball. They, like, turned and, you know, went over the magic dust plane and then lost the ball afterwards, and it's ruled a touchdown. I mean, or a two-point conversion, whatever it was. Now, I don't know if he made the catch, then risked, then got it popped out. All I'm saying is the consistency of, I'm with you, it's so inconsistently called. Kelly's nodding as well.
There's been examples this year. I know about what Bob's talking about because I've been confused on the other side of this year where I'm like, well, he didn't complete the catch, but no, it doesn't matter because he crossed the plane. There was that one, the one I really didn't understand where it was Chris Olave out in the field. It was a play he knocked himself out on. He caught the ball. Got like 1 foot down, 2 foot down, went to the ground.
We brought it up on Guessing Lines when it happened.
Went unconscious after that. They looked at him for concussion. They called it a catch, but he didn't complete it to the ground.
Sorry you got concussed, but that's not a catch. Right. It's almost like they had sympathy for him. Now, I'm with you, Bob. Did you have New England? Is that why you're bringing this up, by the way?
No, well, I had New England on a teaser, so I'm fine. That ended up working out. I'm glad I teased them. That ended up straight up. The other one, there's another one in the playoffs. It was the Baltimore Ravens, and it was a game-winning touchdown or something like that.
Yes.
The guy caught the ball, had 2 feet on the ground, sort of was about to do his touchdown, and then got hit, and then lost the ball, and they said incomplete pass.
That's my biggest issue. So I once at the Sloan, you remember, you attended Sloan Sports Analytics conferences before in your past. In fact, you were on a panel back in the day. And the beauty of MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference in its early days is that you could have really long conversations with huge people. You can't do that anymore because the conference got so popular and so big. So, like, I would sit there and talk to Mark Cuban for 5 minutes, just me and him, right, just on the side. Mike Carey, the former NFL official, I spoke to him one-on-one for maybe 30 minutes, and I talked about that with him. I'm like, why is the, you know, the plane of the end zone treated as this magic, you know, vertical plane, but if you're actually in the end zone, you're required to do more than you would be just crossing that goal line? So, and he was like, well, you know, that's just how it is. There was something I brought up with him. There was a Saints-Washington game where it was completely like, you know, a whistle was blown, and then 10 seconds after the fact, someone picked up the ball. Anyway, there was one thing where he sort of looked at me wistfully. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right about that one. But like that, I agree with you. The inconsistency of how they treat past the plane of the goal line versus in the end zone itself is just something that's illogical in this league, for sure.
Doesn't make sense. If you're going to call that not a touchdown because he didn't complete the catch after crossing the goal line, then anybody that fumbles the ball after diving into the end zone should be a fumble. I mean, either make it one way or the other.
Yep, I'm with you. All right.
It's stupid.
Because you know why, Bob? We're betting on this stuff, for God's sakes, also. We'd like some...
God dang it. Yeah. Not even that. It's just like, that's been a touchdown my whole life,
yeah.
And now it's not. You know, that kind of stuff drives me nuts.
For sure. By the way, Bob, just pulling back the curtain, Bob was supposed to be on a couple segments ago, and he said to me on test, he goes, oh, my God, I forgot it was Friday. We almost did, too, Bob. We started the show by saying that. We're like, oh, yeah, we have to go to work today, because after Thanksgiving, it feels like a weekend. So we're glad we have you. What is your college football play of the week, sir?
It's going to be UAB this week. You know, if you've been following UAB like I do, you know that they are a bully, what I consider a bully. They beat up on bad teams. They get spanked by good teams. They're terrible as a huge underdog, but they're really good at beating up on bad teams. And we saw last week they went into LSU and got crushed. And they should bounce back against Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech has a horrible defense, and they're playing a backup quarterback that's about 11 points worse than their starter, Parker McNeil. 11 points. McNeil's out with a broken finger. McNeil has averaged 7.9 yards on his 230 pass plays this season against teams that would allow 6.6 yards per pass play to an average quarterback. So he's been 1.3 yards per pass play better than average compensated. The backup is Landry Liddy. He's averaged 5.8 yards per pass play on 114 pass plays, facing mostly bad defensive teams that would allow 8.0 yards per pass play to an average quarterback. So he's been 2.2 yards per pass play worse than average. The difference is 3.5 yards per pass play between the starter and the backup. That's about 11 points. That's one of the biggest differences I've ever seen. lastly, how bad is Liddy? Last week they played Charlotte, the worst defense in the nation, and they only scored 21 points. And I had Charlotte, I didn't trust them as the best, but I had them as what I call strong opinion. So I had Charlotte last week, and Louisiana Tech lost the game as a favorite. 2 weeks ago, they scored just 7 points against UTSA, who does not have a good defense. UTSA's defense is not very good, and they only scored 7 points in that game. I just don't see them scoring more than 10 to 13 points in this game against UAB, who has a good defense. It's 0.7, you know, they're better than average defensively, about half a yard per play better than average defensively. As far as UAB scoring, they had a couple games without Dylan Hopkins, who's their star quarterback, and they didn't really play very well in those games. They lost them. But Hopkins came back a couple games ago. They beat the crap out of North Texas 41-21. Then last week they got killed by LSU, which is pretty expected. And now they're back playing a bad team that they should beat up on. So Louisiana Tech's given up 38 points a game. UAB should score around that amount while Louisiana Tech has held to, you know, 10 to 17 points, somewhere in there. So should be a pretty good bet. UAB's 27-1 against the spread as a favorite of more than 10. I told you they're a bully since they revived the football program, including 5-1 as a big road favorite. They're also off a loss, and that makes bullies mad. And they're 16-6 against the spread off a loss since they revived the football program, including 6-1 laying more than 10. So we have some things going on here with the team's personality says blowout, and the stats say blowout. So I say blowout. UAB minus 18 or less, and right now it's 17.5 at some books, minus 18 at other books. So go ahead and grab UAB at 18 or less.
There you go. 3:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, UAB minus 17.5 against Louisiana Tech. Anything below 18, I like it. It's one of my favorite Dr. Bobisms, the bully. And UAB is just that. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Dr. Bob, everybody, at Dr. Bob Sports. Happy Thanksgiving to Dr. Bob and his family. We'll come back. Right Angle Sports, Michael Craig next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.